Greetings, humans.
Man.
Yeah, that's annoying.
That is annoying.
I can't hear anything.
Like it is me, isn't it? I just know it.
Hang on. Let me,
Here, tap your mute a few times, Jay.
Just somebody mute and let's see who it is.
I just muted.
It wasn't
so.
You.
Oh, no, yay!
Here, Jay, mute. Say when you're muting and say when you come off.
He okay, just... I'm muting now.
It is him.
Yeah, it is him.
It's not me?
No,
I'm okay?
Yeah, it's not you. It's Jay.
It's always Jay.
Alan was talking over to him when Jay was doing the...
okay, we're unmuted, so I guess
sorry,
it is.
Sorry, Jay.
That's okay. It's not so bad now. Yeah, it's all right.
I like it. It reminds you of talking on the phone in the 80s.
Yeah, it's like the it's like we're talking to like overseas on the old transatlantic cable. Hello, New York.
That's
can
me.
You hear me?
I'm Guglielmo Marconi. Thank you. That's
remember,
it. Just call me Guglielmo.
Yeah. All right.
I've always wanted to be.
Jay,
do you have family in Europe?
We have family in Italy.
Okay.
When I was
a kid, we used to call the family in Ireland, and there'd be like, you have to yell over the line.
Oh, yeah.
And you also have to wait for the delay. Did you ever have that experience?
We never actually called them because we couldn't afford overseas calls. I'm not kidding.
Because when Jay says Italy, he means Sicily, and they didn't have bones.
Oh, they
didn't.
Yeah, if you're talking over a delay, you were going across a satellite.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. It was in Ireland. We would call like once a year for Christmas or something, and everybody would be yelling at each other, and there'd be the delay.
Brita, have you thought that maybe it was just because everyone was drunk?
That might have also been the case.
We are talking about the Irish and stereotypes of this for a reason.
Wow. Yeah. All I know is my grandfather on my mother's father used to make a 180 proof vermouth.
Oh, dear.
Oh, yeah. It was a stock.
What good does that do when you just wave the bottle over the martini?
You do not wave the bottle over the martini. That is blasphemy.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't know either.
It's 180 proof. Does it matter?
It probably like transmute outside the bottle. You don't even have to like, have
much.
It in the same room.
It's osmosis at that point.
Do you have any of that, Jay?
I do not. My grandfather passed away in 1974.
He didn't leave the recipe behind?
No,
I gotta tell you.
If he did, it didn't make it down to me. Oh. I don't think they dared.
Weird Beard goes to an ass load of vermouth.
Hey, ass load? I don't think you're supposed to use it that way.
Between you and your God.
Yeah, I butt chug vermouth. What's the big deal?
You're not supposed
to use it.
You
guys are so close-minded.
That's it. We're haters. Haters!
That's right. I thought you guys were libertarians. But yeah,
okay.
No. Vermouth is like my favorite evil devil magic. My favorite party trick is I'll pour like an ounce, maybe even a little less, but just a little bit into a shot glass, and say, "All right, I'll mix a drink, any drink really, and I'll pour a little bit of that in a shot glass. I'll taste the drink. What do you think? Oh, the drink tastes good. All right, try this vermouth. It tastes like fucking poison. And then I'll pour a decent jigger of vermouth into the drink. And I said, now try the drink again, and they'll be like." What the fuck? It tastes good.
Huh.
Vermouth is evil devil magic. You put a nip of vermouth into just about anything, and it makes it tastes better.
Very interesting.
Well, gin is already horrible, so there's not much you could do to make it taste worse.
It's not. It's not only gin drinks. I put it in all sorts of stuff.
Hmm.
I mean, especially it goes especially well with those with the more fruity type quote unquote girl drinks.
I don't have any experience with those.
Other than apple pie.
Oh, I blame you for that.
I've heard stories of things with tequila in them, so I don't know.
Anyway,
I need to buy some tequila.
No,
I have some tequila. I have mezcal with worms.
Yeah, you gotta have.
No, you've got garbage tequila.
You gotta have one of everything just in case.
I need to get some good silver tequila because I want to make tequinis.
Tequinis.
Yeah,
because you don't want to wear bikinis. That's no. all I can. I'm
no, a tequini is a martini. It's tequila, vermouth, and preferably olive stuffed with jalapenos.
Oh, that can't be good.
I don't know. I mean, you know, I mean, essentially the silver tequila is essentially a vodka. I mean, it's not a grain spirit, but, you know, it's the same idea. Though I got to say, I mixed I don't know if you want to call it a Manhattan because I was using dry vermouth. I tried it with my moonshine. Nah, it wasn't bad. I mean, I drank the whole thing and enjoyed it, but yeah, I didn't really do anything any justice. But tequila is a little bit sweeter, so.
I have no idea.
Play that fucking music, Alan.
Play that funky music, Alan boy.
You mean this? Is that what you're talking about?
Everybody, it's Wednesday, October 9th, 2015. No.
It's Thursday, November 29th, 2012. It's time for the Squirrel Report. Get your tails on.
I can't believe it's November already.
It is.
By the way, did anybody go over
to my house? It's almost December.
And check out the fucking awesome picture that somebody sent me?
What? No?
No.
Oh.
You have a blog?
Oh, you fuckers. Yeah, blogging is dead.
Weird blogs?
No, actually, I have you on my RSS feed.
Don't you know that Facebook is where it's at, man? Where are you?
I mean,
come on.
Though we miss you on Facebook.
Get with the program. You'd like Facebook. It's fun. Come on. All your friends are there.
A good friend of mine sent me a message via Google Plus. And
oh, good God.
No, not Google Plus.
Like the evil anti-Facebook.
Yeah.
Google Plus is like MySpace.
It's stupid.
It's worse than MySpace. It's like
LiveJournal.
Oh, it's terrible.
It's worse than LiveJournal.
Yeah, don't fuck with LiveJournal.
LiveJournal just makes you want to cut yourself. Google G Plus is like...
Alan, sometimes I need cutting.
Google Plus is like the nerd graveyard. I'm sorry, but...
It's where nerds go to die.
It is. I'm sorry. I just have this vision of like these nerds on Google Plus. Like, I'm sorry. No.
We're mining your personal data.
That's terrible. Anyway, Weird. What is the picture you're talking about on your blog?
Weird has a blog?
I'd be afraid.
It's my Squirrel Report post. It's the one that links to the website.
Is it the one with the dead squirrel?
Yes, and the angel.
Somebody sent me that photo and they were like, oh, look at the cute squirrel. I'm like, I think that's roadkill.
No, roadkill is somewhere else. He did a guest post on Jay's blog.
The squirrel is clearly not with us any longer.
Is he? I was just going to say that.
He looks very peaceful in the arms of the angel.
He connects nuts no more. This is an ex-squirrel.
Ex-squirrel, yes.
He's pining for the oak tree.
He's pining for the fjords.
Pining for the acorns.
Oh, for the acorns. He just, boom, muscle up to those bars.
Oh, God.
Okay. Speaking of throwing down his geek cred.
Yeah. Well, I have to confess, I've started watching Doctor Who. Speaking of geek cred.
Awesome.
I've started watching Doctor Who.
I watched the first one and it sucked. I don't want to watch anymore.
I kind of started in the middle.
Yeah, that's what people keep telling me. Oh, start in the middle. And I'm like,
yeah.
That's not a selling point.
Which first one are you talking about? The first one from 1943?
Not 1921. Black and white, using cardboard and plungers to make dollars. No, I'm talking about the new BBC reboot.
You started off with the first one in 2005.
I've watched some of the old black and white ones. That was actually my grandfather of all people was not a particularly nerdy guy. I mean, he watched it
back in the 20s.
He was a World War II vet and was an ice cream engineer. Among other things, and he'd sit in his chair with his standing ashtray, just chain smoking his cigarettes, watching Doctor Who and laughing his ass off.
Awesome.
Those were the days.
Those were the days.
Remember, could smoke at your own house.
Remember back when you had to wait for a PBS telethon to watch it.
Yep. Yep. You could hang bacon in their living room. It was so fucking smoky in that house. He and my grandmother always had a lit cigarette in their hands when I was growing up. Now my grandmother has cut way back and she's still with us. My grandfather, not so much.
Not so much.
So anyway, how are you liking the Doctor Who?
Rita? Me?
Yes.
Oh, I really like it. And I watched the first episode from, when they rebooted Doctor Who.
2005.
Alan. I watched that first episode and I wasn't impressed.
Yeah, it sucked.
I was like, mannequins that come to life. I was not impressed. So I was like, And then apparently Doctor Who's, like, there's a number of Doctor Who's.
Yes.
And Doctors Who, and there is a Doctor Who that I like, and his companion that I like. So I figured I should kind of start with their story. And
is it David Tennant?
I don't know.
No.
Supposedly David Tennant's the good one.
No.
No, I like the older one. Matt. What's his name?
Matt Smith.
The newer one. Right.
He's actually younger, but.
Whatever. I don't know. Time travel. Oh, I don't get Christ. It. I don't get Walker. Time travel. It's terrible. I don't even try to think about it. I'm just like, okay, let it go. Let's not think about the time travel because it's just going to ruin everything. But I like the Matt Smith Doctor Who, and I like his companion, who is Amy Pond, because she wears nail polish.
And she's hot.
And she's really cute, and she's funny. So I've started with them. And I don't know what comes after that.
Wait,
I don't know.
Wait a minute. That's a different type of companion than Firefly, isn't it?
Totally different. I don't know. You have to watch a show. But I kind of feel like appropriately geeky now. Although, don't even try me with Monty Python. It's not going to happen.
And Monty Python's more nerdy.
Yeah, I was going to say, Python's more of a nerd thing than a geek thing.
Yeah.
I don't.
No. I've tried with my
geeks. Geeks can be cute. Nerds, no.
There's no hope.
No.
Yeah. There's actually in other podcast news over on Nerdist. They have a lot of talk that James Bond is actually a Time Lord, and that the different actors are just the regenerations of him.
That would make a lot of sense.
Nah, I go more for the only good reselling of like the 1964. Casino Royale, where they just simply point out the fact that, James Bond is an intimidation factor, and so every time James Bond gets killed or gets too old,
right,
and retires,
there's an all one. That.
Yeah, they just take the next top MI6 agent.
That would make
sense. James Bond.
Well, it's like the what was it, the
Dread Pirate
the,
Roberts?
The Dread Pirate Roberts or the Bourne Identity, because there was no such person. So, Jason Bourne was the paper myth too. So,
yeah, but
I never got that deep into the Bourne stuff.
I'm sorry.
I like Robert Ludlum, but he depressed the shit out of me.
Yeah, he's very depressing. It's all that Cold War, we're all going to die shit, just doesn't play well.
It's not that. It's the fact that you get hooked on this protagonist who's running from a massive agency, and he's realistic enough to know that there's no way the hell that this agent will be able to topple the whole agency. So therefore, he's always looking over his shoulder, even on the last page. He's doing better than he was before. The danger has been averted, but they will eventually find him again, and they will eventually kill him.
Yep.
Of
course. It's like having your cancer being in remission.
Ooh.
Thanks.
Yet Eric. Another thanks, Cold thanks War era Take allegory. You know.
Oh, just as long as you don't have cancer in England, huh?
It's yeah. Just, well, then you just die.
Yeah. After yeah, the after they stop feeding you.
Yeah.
They starve you to death.
Now, to be fair, it's also Canada or Australia.
Or the U.S. in a few years.
Yeah. Or Obamacare.
But what's nice is that it will kill progressives just as readily as it'll kill conservatives.
I'm not so sure about that.
Might kill progressives more?
No, I think it's the other way around. I think you're going to find that when national socialist health care rolls into place, you if you want good medical care, you better be the right sort.
You better have a hyphenated last name.
Yeah, you better.
You've got to be in the inner party.
You better be in the party, or you better be, in a union, or well, the same thing.
Yeah.
You better be a party member, because if you're not a party member, they'll put you at the back of the line if they get to you at all. That's how that right. Shit works.
I still, just in case, I'm changing my name. It's going to be Weirdington Elizabeth Hyphenbeard.
Do you have the cheekbones for that?
Do you have high cheekbones? I was about to ask that.
I've got spectacular high cheekbones, and I'm pretty sure my relatives have killed Indians.
Close enough.
He's running weird.
Good enough for government work.
Him, he's plenty engine. There we go. Let's piss off the Native American continent.
You know, we do have a show this week.
Yes, we do.
You? Dun, dun, really?
Yeah.
Really? I should have shown up.
Yeah, I should have come sober.
We have a
show.
Well,
first of all, I have to ask before we go into the whole this week's show thing, how was everybody's Thanksgiving?
Over.
It was okay. Weird?
Yeah, I'll go with the it was pretty good, but there's a whole lot of grim family bullshit going on. So,
all right, that kind of
cast a pall on things.
Gotcha. Well, you know what? I'm here to report back on the spatchcocking.
Oh,
hold on. Let me undo my pants.
Okay. Well, the spatchcocking. Do you want me to say it again?
Yes.
Spatchcocking.
Almost there.
Spatchcocking is excellent. And it really, really works. It's highly recommended. Last year, we did a whole turkey in the smoker, and it took like 11 hours. I mean, it was a brined whole turkey, like 11 hours in the smoker. It was crazy. This year, spatchcocked, 5 hours.
Nice.
It was awesome.
Surface to volume ratio is a thing that matters.
It really is. And it was just as delicious. And all of the skin was brown and crispy and beautiful. Really highly recommended. So
did you get the nice smoke ring on the meat, too?
Yes, totally. It was. We totally had the smoke ring. It was great.
The pictures you posted looked awesome.
Right? I know. Oh. It was so good. And I made turkey soup, during the week afterwards. Yes. Do you want me to say it again?
For those who are listening in who are American, it's called butterflying.
Whatever. Spatchcocking.
Spatchcocking's more fun.
Highly recommended. Do it next year. Or try a chicken. Spatchcock a chicken.
Because you can't spatchcock without a cock.
Chickens are not cocks.
Well, to be fair, my idea for a turpig requires some spatchcocking.
I like that. A turpig.
I don't want to know what a turpig.
That's that okay. That would be where you butterfly a turkey and wrap it around a ham.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and you cover both with bacon.
Oh.
Okay. I'm going to your house for dinner.
Oh, I was hanging out with Vector after Thanksgiving. He called me over. He says, "We got a shitload of leftovers. Come help."
Nice.
and they had ham and turkey, so I was eating ham and turkey together, but they weren't together. They were separate items on the same plate, and I just went, you know what? They should be completely together. What will we call it? And we all settled on Terpig. Because Terpig just sounds awesome. Epic Mealtime did it, kind of.
It sounds good.
Oh, crap. I just saw a joke in NFO send.
Read it.
Okay, I'll give this a try, and I'll see if I can pull it off.
That's what she said.
An American is walking down a London street when a gust of air lifts a young woman's skirt and reveals she's not wearing undies. Airy, isn't it? He says. And she replies in her Cockney accent, "What was you expecting, Governor? Feathers?"
Oh.
That's my kind of woman. I'm just saying.
Yes, we all know about your kind of woman.
That's what they're supposed to look like, Rita.
I know. How are you about this? The armpit hair?
I don't shave, so you know what? I don't have a fetish for it, but you know what? I'm not gonna say peep.
Okay.
It's not fair. I'm an equal opportunities person.
Okay.
I'm gonna shave off my chin whiskers, so you know what? If there's gonna be some squirrels involved, there's gonna be some squirrels.
Okay.
I'll report on.
As long as she doesn't look like she has buckwheat in a headlock, you're good.
No, that's a different thing. Yeah,
the hair I don't mind. I do insist on you know, a shower in the last 24 hours at some point.
There's a difference between, you know, a woman looking like a woman and a woman looking like they got a glandular disorder.
No, yeah. Sasquatch.
Oh no. Oh no. Or as I heard somebody say, someone who looks like an old porn looks like all the women look like an aerial shot of Art Garfunkel.
Oh my God.
Yeah, some of that old 70s porn is kind of
spectacular.
Yeah. Spectacular.
Though of course the golden age was the early 80s.
Oh God.
Cuz that was when they were still shooting on 8mm, but so they still had to cram a plot in there. But yeah. But they had
North and his porn stash.
But it was the most advanced 8mm, so it's not like that grainy, yellowed, like really creepy looking stuff.
Yeah, right.
And John Holmes was really too sick to fuck at that point in time, and I really don't like looking at him.
What show were we on?
I don't know.
I don't know. We had a show.
Something about squirrels.
All right, topics.
Okay, topics. Alan?
So anyway, we have a several. Okay, well, let's start with our call-in topic, and then
yes,
we can go to other stuff. Because, okay, so here's the situation. I have this friend, and
who isn't you?
Who isn't me at all? And this friend has another friend who is, you know, I won't call them a liberal, but they voted for Obama.
Friend is a.
An acquaintance.
Okay. Yeah.
And this acquaintance voted for Obama.
All right. So don't say liberal, say progressive.
Well, we don't know what they are. They voted for Obama. So you can, whatever their political philosophy is, they thought Obama was the best choice. And, you know, for whatever reason.
He kind of sort of was, but continue.
Now, this person who voted for Obama has come to my friend and asked to be taught how to shoot. And my friend, Rita,
I was wondering how long that would
is,
take.
Is having a bit of a quandary because at the one time, this acquaintance is, you know, not a bad person. I mean, you know, not awful. And yet voted for Obama, who, you know, if he could, would ban all firearms everywhere in the world except for his. So the question is, you know, when a liberal or a, you know, an avowed liberal or Obama voter or whoever has, you know, had that brush with reality that that little nagging voice in their head that says, I might have to defend myself someday. Oh, I know. Brita knows how to shoot. I'll ask her.
Yeah.
What do you do with those people? Do you, in the past I would have said, and I think Brita would have also and would have said, well, okay, let's, you know, it's always a good thing to introduce somebody else, a new person to guns because, you know, hey, we're teaching people. And, oh shit, we lost Jay.
What?
In the past you might have said that, but you know, recently it's kind of, there's kind of more of an attitude like, you know, fuck you. This is the bed you made, you lay in it. You want to learn how to shoot, you go pay somebody that does that for a living and, you know, I'm not going to bother with it.
Well, actually that actually kind of leaves some extra quandaries. I mean, first up, I'll say that, you know, I learned to shoot. I was absolutely anti-gun. Even after I learned how to shoot, I was still anti-gun. I went from being liberal to progressive, where it was one of those, well, you know, I still think everyone shouldn't be able to have guns, but I wouldn't mind one.
Mm-hmm.
But to be fair, I mean, that was what got the ball rolling. But I guess it also depends on the attitude of this person. Are they, you know, did they vote for Obama because they really think that they're the right person and you guys can discuss some things? I mean, if they're the type of person that, you know, that as soon as the debate starts getting serious and some difficult points are being raised, they immediately, you know, change the subject. Use the great progressive tool of let's agree to disagree, which means you're making some very, very valid points and I'm not going to accept them, so please leave me alone. Then it's not a good idea.
Right.
But there's lots of people who are thinking people who are wrong about things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm still wrong about things, and you know, all it takes is just a good persuasive argument to change my mind.
Yeah, but you're a rational individual. I don't.
But I am a rational. Yeah,
I don't.
Yeah.
I think there's a great number of people on this planet that a rational argument will not work on for any reason whatsoever.
Oh, I agree. I mean, I could take my dad thinks that assault weapons are ridiculous things to own. I could take my dad out to the range and hand him my FAL and have him pop some rounds downrange and he'll enjoy the hell out of it and he won't change his mind a bit. Why? Because his heels are dug into the ground, and you know, I mean there's a lot of these anti-gun people that are it's more important for them to stick to their political guns than to ever admit that they're wrong. And those type of people aren't worth the ammo. Unless they're receiving it. But again, you raise an interesting point about paying somebody to do that. It'd be perfectly fine if one of those, you go out, you buy some ammo, you know, save your receipt and say, yep, we're going. Here it is. You know, I just spent $100 on ammo. This ammo is all yours. Let's go, you know, let's go shooting. If it takes you two trips to burn it all up, it takes you two trips to burn it all up, and that's all well and good. You burn it all up in one trip, but either way, I ain't doing this without a Benjamin in my hand.
Okay. You know, I'm not going to weigh in until I think maybe the end of the show.
Yep. So that's our call-in topic.
I would like to hear everybody's opinion. On Facebook, I had so many comments on Facebook about
well
this.
Well over 100.
Back and forth. And it was very interesting conversation. I was really interested in hearing Squirrel Report listeners call in and hear them state their case, whether or not I should bring this person to the range. So I'm going to weigh in at the end of the show because I don't want to kind of skew anybody's opinion either way. I haven't said how I feel one way or the other, really. And actually, you know what? I'm still kind of debating. I'm not sure. So,
well, it's a quandary.
It really is.
Because I could see it going either way. I mean, on the one hand, it's, you know, anybody that thinks that you know, Obama is, you know, somebody that would vote for Obama for a second term, and then knowing what you, how you feel about it, wants you to come and ask you to teach them to shoot is, you know, well, that's pretty rude.
Right.
Hey, well, I fucked you over, yeah. But, you know, hey.
Hey.
And that call-in number is 214-530-0036 if you want to call in. Did any of that make it through? Or?
Yes. I heard you.
Okay.
You sound good, Jay. Believe it or not.
Yep.
You know what it is? It's beer.
Yeah, on the other hand, you know, there's the whole, you know, another person introduced to guns is, you know, another person introduced to guns. I just don't, you know, I don't know. Anyway, let's take some calls.
I think we have a call on hold.
Yeah, we do. Actually, we have a couple. And this is from area code 901. Hello, 901. You're on the air.
Hey, it's Bonnie.
Hey, Bonnie.
Hey, Bonnie.
How's it going?
Wow. Bonnie on the air with Brita. Who'd have thunk it?
Yeah.
I know. It's
I know, right? That's never happened before.
Deja vu, man.
Okay, I have a couple of perspectives. I'm kind of with Weird on this one as far as, like, when I started shooting. Like, the reason I started was because I was sexually assaulted, and I was like, oh, my God, that's just the best way to defend myself. But, of course, mm-hmm. the situation I'd been in, it was, like, it was a bunch of stupid choices by me that ended very badly. So a gun wouldn't have helped me in that circumstance. But in the future, I was like, I got to be more aware of my circumstances and I have to, you know, prepare myself just in case something else goes wrong and things like that. And I've voted, like, people are going to go in the chat room and be like, oh my God, but I voted for John Kerry in 2004. And I did it just because, like, I was all, you know, idealistic. I was 21, you know, and I didn't know anything, and nothing bad had happened to me yet, and stuff like that. And when I first heard the phrase, you know, a liberal is just a conservative who hasn't been robbed yet, like, mm-hmm. I didn't understand that until after I felt the need to actually defend myself. And so the guy that I was dating when I started shooting, like, he was, like, into it. Like, he's a libertarian and stuff, but... We took our classes together to get our permits and everything, and I just found shooting to be fun, like, regardless of my political affiliation. I thought it was so much fun. And then I started reading up more on different political things, and I educated myself. So that's the political thing is choice, as just as shooting a gun is. But I kind of think they're almost separate because they were separate for me. I don't know if that makes any sense. Like, I would, as long as they paid their range fees, paid for their ammo, and paid for their gun rental, or I would loan them one of my guns as long as they paid for their ammo, I would take somebody to the range, if no matter who they voted for, because I think that self-defense is a right, and if during that range visit, I think I said this on Frida's status, I might make a couple of passive-aggressive comments because that's the, you know, kind of what I do when I talk about politics. I mean, when I talk about politics, I mean, I'm all about passive-aggression, you know, because nobody wants to hear direct crap, and I don't like getting into arguments about it. That's why I'm kind of wishy-washy, like, on Facebook and stuff. I don't say anything one way or another with politics because I'm sick of drama. But I would be like, yeah, you know, back in 2008 when Obama was elected, man, you should have seen ammo prices. They just went up, and it's because of these bills that he did, and people were really scared they weren't going to be able to defend themselves and things like that, you know. And I have mm-hmm. successfully done that with somebody. So... they're still mostly liberal. They voted independent in this past election because they were like, I still don't like McCain. But not McCain. I'm sorry. My brain is shot. I'm so tired.
Don't worry. So we can't tell the difference either.
Whatever.
I was thinking
sacrificial Mitten. Republican.
So the word M, yeah, the letter M was in my head. So I was thinking Mittens, and for some reason I thought of McCain.
Hey, it was his turn.
Yeah,
that was last time. Well, anyway, so I did, you know, they voted independent this time, and they don't, like, go to the range regularly, but they do have a gun for self-defense, and they know how to use it, and they do ask me questions about it occasionally, and I have made it a point to actually, you know, like, talk to them and keep up with them about, hey, do you know this is happening, and do you know this is happening, and so it's been a process, like, I'm not going to take somebody out to shoot if they ask me and then bombard them with political propaganda because, mm-hmm. I mean, who the fuck likes an angelic and evangelist. I'm so sorry, you guys. I have mono. My brain is so shot.
It's okay. The rest of us are drunk. Tired. It's totally fine.
I might as well be drunk. Okay, I'll just put it on. I have mono. I'm drunk. I've had too many wine coolers. Anyway, like, nobody likes, you know, like an evangelist who comes to their door, knocks on it, and says, can I tell you the good news? You're like, no, get the fuck off my lawn. And I feel right. like it's the same way with politics. You can't be heavy-handed, and at the same time, with something as important as self-defense, I really do think that it's important to give people a chance if they honestly ask to learn about it. If they ask me about my right. political affiliation and why I feel that way, I am going to tell them the very basics of how I feel. If they ask for more details, I'll give them more details. And I feel right. like that's the same way with shooting. I think that everybody has the right to self-defense, and that's a freaking open doorway right there to letting them know exactly what it is that may be wrong with their line of thought with their actions. Because at that point, they fired a gun. If they enjoy it and they want to keep a gun in the house, it's their responsibility to know at that point politically why what they're doing is keeping them from, you know, possibly being able to do that in the future. So I would take them and I would be like, yeah, so about this gun thing, you know, gosh, did you hear about this bill, blah, 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 and I would leave it at that. And if they enjoy themselves, like, I would kind of, you know, follow up with them, hey, have you looked at guns? Like, have you thought about what you're going to do with this? Have you thought about taking an actual class? Like, at that point, I would just kind of keep, you know, like, planting little seeds, I think. And it was very quick with the other person that I helped, but, you know, like, for future people, especially this election because it was so heated, I think it would take more of that little bit of seed planting. Not being an ass about it, just like, hey, I read this article, here's a copy, you know, kind of thing. So, I don't know, I might be too centrist as far as that's concerned, because I know a lot of people who are like, they voted for Obama, fuck them. But, I don't know, I have right. a lot of, like, moderate-type friends who did vote for Obama just because they really hated Romney, and they were like, I'm not voting third party because... The same reason a lot of people didn't vote third party, just so that, you know, in favor of Romney, just the opposite argument for Obama. This was one of those weird elections. So, I don't know. That's like my two cents.
I think I have to give kind of a background story with this. Is the girl that, you know, this whole story is about, really, she's very young and kind of like you voting for John Kerry. It pains me just to even say that, but
or me voting for Al Gore.
I voted for Al Gore. Weird.
I knew how to shoot. I learned how to shoot, and then I turned right around and voted for Al Gore.
Yeah, we all make mistakes.
I was the opposite. The shooting and the political. Actually, my political conversion kind of happened right after 9/11, and then I learned how to shoot, and then I voted for George Bush. So it was like, after I learned how to shoot, I was not voting. I was not voting for, anyway, this girl, she's very young, and she's one of those girls who really has never had to think about anything. You know, her parents pay her school, they pay for her car, they pay for her cell phone. You know, it's kind of like one of those situations where she's very taken care of girl.
Maybe they'll pay for her ammo, and you'll get to shoot a bunch too.
Yeah, you know, that's what I'm thinking.
Tap in on this, Brita.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, get, you know, if Obama, I do money. Take her shooting, I'm going to make her pay for everything. I'm not even going to let her use my guns. I'm going to make her rent guns so that I can shoot them. You know. That's my thinking, but I'm just saying that, you know, there is the political aspect of this for me is really out there, because she really is not like a political girl. You know what I mean? It's not like she's ever really thought about, oh, Barack Obama wants to take care of us and pay for our health care. And oh, my gosh, he's so great. And he's on TV, and Jon Stewart loves him, and oh my God, like, he's going to pay for my school loans. You know, kind of like not one of those girls that really thinks in depth. So, you know, the political aspect for me is kind of like outside the whole dilemma. For me, okay, the dilemma is like, she voted for Obama, she has voted to basically enslave the rest of the country so that she can have birth control. And do I want to take her to the range? It has really not much to do with her.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
I would, no, I understand what you're saying. I think that's a golden opportunity right there. If she's asking you and she is ignorant, that means she wants to learn something. And if she's that, if she's young and like impressionable like that, like I hate to say it like this, but like scoop her up and educate her, like not in a, not in the public school kind of way.
I will get her in the budget.
And
I will
post pictures. No, wait.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, no dirty education. Let's
she's an Obama voter. You can do the dirty Sanchez.
What?
Well, yeah, that's true. no whips and chains, just guns. But, seriously, take her and be like, you know, I'll take you, but you are going to have to pay for your own ammo and gun rental. And, just bring her in and be like, this is how it is. This is how I started. Because she obviously looks up to you, or else she wouldn't have asked you. And if you let her know exactly how you got started, and in shooting at least, not politically yet, because she sounds like she's still like where I was back when I was, you know, 21, like, hurt, hurt, you know, like, oh, Bush says nuclear, hurt, hurt, you know.
yes.
Because that was like, kinda like I'm a grammar Nazi.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I'm a grammar Nazi, so when I heard nuclear, I was like, nope. 100 pounds of mustard gas on a turkey farm? Nope. Like,
binders full
like that, I'm not going to vote for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, like, no, seriously, I would take her and I would walk her through what you did. Like, I went shooting. I, you know, was not, you know, for whatever reason you went shooting, and I was about this age, and so I kind of, you know, I started earlier, blah, 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 and just go through your whole gun story with her. And if she asks you any details about, like, political stuff, answer her honestly, but don't be snarky about it. I know that you obviously know how to not. I mean, if you've managed to not kill anybody at the library yet, then, you know, stop this.
Right.
But, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I think that's perfect. I think that is a perfect learning opportunity for her because clearly she wants to learn. And if she's young enough that her political stuff isn't, she's not really thinking about it very deeply, because she's in college. I mean, come on. That's what happens when you're in college. I don't know. I just think that's like freaking golden opportunity. I didn't know that when I made my comment, but shit, I would do it.
Hmm.
Well, all right.
Okay, that makes sense.
All righty then.
Thanks, Bonnie.
No problem. I'll get off the phone.
Okay.
Thanks, Bonnie.
Bye. Right.
Thanks, Bonnie. Bye.
Bonnie rules.
No, okay.
It's always good to hear from Bonnie.
Yep.
Remember from your first experience, Brita, make sure you hand her a 38 snubby.
yeah.
And
yeah.
If she doesn't cry, you're not doing it right.
Really? I don't think that's for every girl.
You want me to? I can send the snubby from hell to your nearest FFL if you want.
Yeah, that'll guarantee she never, ever wants to shoot. Tell her this, and tell her, look at how small this gun is.
Look how small. Harmless. Yeah, come on.
The bigger ones are worse.
Yeah.
I promise it'll never hurt. You.
And our call-in number is 214-530-0036. And well, look, also, we have a caller.
Another thing to note is that, I mean, you know, the anti-gun people, they're digging back with the assault weapons bullshit, where they're pointing out, you know, trivial parts of a gun and saying, oh, this makes the gun more deadly. And the only way to combat that is to get people to learn how guns work and what the parts of the gun are. And when they realize that, oh, throwing a pistol grip or a flash hider on a gun doesn't fucking do jack shit, you know, except for just some basic ergonomics. I mean, that's the only way to know. I mean, you can't look at a picture of a gun and realize, oh, that doesn't really affect things very much. But if you've got some experience shooting, that makes all the world. I mean, it's one of those things. I mean, it's one of those. I bought into the whole, you know, oh, you know, you can't hunt deer with an assault rifle, you know, because it's just unsporting. There'll be nothing left to eat. And then, you know, and then I shot a bolt action Woodstock FUD gun 30-06 and it kicked the shit out of me. And I shot a 223 and it was a mouse fart compared and realized, oh, wait.
Yeah.
They lied.
Imagine that. Hey, MDev's on the line.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Doing great.
Wouldn't be Squirrel Report without MDev.
It's the MDev Report.
Okay. It's the MDev Report.
And we're going live to our correspondent out in the field, MDev.
So I have actually been in a similar, although not exact, situation as far as new shooters. And, you know, I was the default one to say, will you take me to the range or whatever? And I, of the two people who seriously asked me, I have said yes to one, and I said a direct no to the other. And it had nothing, for me, it had nothing to do with their political alignment. It had to do with the guy I said no to, I was pretty confident would not be safe. So that was just the end of it for me, is I wasn't going to jeopardize my safety for his enjoyment.
Well, that's a big consideration.
Yes.
Yeah, I did the exact same thing.
You know, it's the same old thing. If they're instructable and they're willing to, you know, I mean, the hardest person to teach is somebody who thinks they know everything. You know what I mean? If somebody's willing to say, hey, I don't know a damn thing, show me everything, that's the easiest person in the world to teach. As far as the political side of it, I would be probably more willing to take somebody like Rita is describing than somebody who's maybe on my side but is anti-gun, because there are plenty of them out there, or, you know, whatever. Because whatever, as far as I'm concerned, whatever you do as the person that, you know, she asks and says, will you do this for me? That's the answer that she assumes every gun owner is going to give her. So if she has a great experience and loves it, then she has a positive impression. If you say no in a terribly mean and, you know, curse her out, well, then she'll never. I'm not saying you will, but I'm saying if you reacted that way, then she would never ask anybody again. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because it would be, oh. And, you know, part of it, and I'm maybe going out on a limb here, and this doesn't really apply to Breida because she fights the stereotype, but there is a stereotype that, you know, gun owners are just rich, fat, white men. So anytime I could take somebody to the range that doesn't fit that stereotype, I'm all for it.
Okay.
You know.
Right.
But, I mean, that's somewhat unconnected to your issue, other than just you have to assume that, you know, if she has a good time with you, she's going to go back to her little hive of college gal pals or whatever and tell them about it.
Right. And it'll be like, you know, she's checking it off her to-do list. That's the thing.
Yeah. Yeah,
that I'm concerned about, that it means nothing other than, oh, I shot a gun, and
it's so edgy.
I think that's a great way to get the to get her to you know, you to give the instruction and your time for free, but all of the perishable goods and fees and whatnot shouldn't be, and make sure to frame it that way. Don't frame it as a punitive standard of you voted for Obama, so therefore you get to pay your own fucking way. but the idea to say. I mean, it's one of those things. I mean, I just the other weekend I took my nephew to the range. He, you know, he wanted to go. You know, his only experience was with his dad, who's your typical FUD, who's, you know, probably had, you know, a single box of 30-30 shells for the last like 5 or 6 years, you know, type of shooter. And we went and we burned through well over $200 worth of ammunition. And, you know, granted, you know, he's 16 years old, and so I wasn't 16 years old and doesn't have a job, so I wasn't about to try to saddle him with the bill.
Right.
But again, also he was also not coming from that position, as he knew all his stuff, he'd done all his homework, he knew the rules of gun safety. He'd been talking to me about guns for years, you know, beforehand. So he was already in a good shape. But it's one of those things of the, you know, for someone that's uninitiated and of a position where they have a job and they have, you know, and they have means, point out to them, this is not an inexpensive hobby. This is not, you know, dinner and a movie. This, you know, this, there's, you know, there's a bit to it, and you know, you can just simply say, I'm not made out of money, so I can't afford just to take any old schmo to the range.
Right.
So don't make sure not to make it punitive.
You know, I would almost always, and I mean, part of this goes back to selection, and be like, you know, once you talk to them a little bit, even say, hey, I've got, you know, one or two guns that I'm willing to let you shoot, and I'll pick up the M4, whether that be a 22 or whatever. But if you want to shoot anything else, then that's on you. You know, I mean, you could always do it that way, too. But that's entirely up to you, and that's kind of, you know, separate from this discussion.
The thing that gets me, though, it's kind of like I've looked at it from both ways, where I think if I take her to the range, I can talk to her about personal responsibility and about how gun rights are kind of, you know, like I could say, well, you're having a really good time now, but, you know, the ability for you to go to the gun range and shoot or own a gun and shoot are, you know, always kind of up for debate in the government. And, you know, I could take it from there. And on the other hand, I could say, if she asked me if I want to go to the range, I can say no, because your vote has consequences. I assumed by your vote you are anti-gun. And well, so I'm going to treat you accordingly.
Rita, I got a question for you.
Yes.
Because, I mean, there's a fair number of people on both sides of the political aisle that are just one issue voters.
Right.
Was her Obama vote well rounded and well informed, or did she just latch on?
I'm assuming she voted for Obama because she's in her early 20s and she's a female and she gets most of her information off of the internet and lives at home, doesn't have to really pay. She doesn't pay rent, she doesn't pay property taxes, she doesn't, you know, that sort of voter.
Okay.
So,
I mean,
yeah.
I guess what I'm saying is she did a decidedly pro-gun thing by asking to go shooting.
Okay. However, my taking her shooting is not about, it's less about her vote and more about how I feel about her vote. Do you know what I mean?
Fair enough. Well,
like, where are my principles? Like,
yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, are my principles such that I would say absolutely not?
Well, the, you know, a less political version of this would be, you know, if you know somebody who's a super environmentalist and rallies that everybody should drive a Prius,
mm-hmm.
and then they ask to borrow my pickup when they move. You know,
okay.
I mean, that's kind of the same situation.
I would say no. See, to
yep.
that, I would say
yeah.
no. I'd say no.
And that's understandable.
Go rent it up.
I mean, I would, I under no circumstance, if Joan Peterson came up to me or any of these other, you know, staunch anti-gun people who refuse to debate, refuse to discuss, only, you know, only talk past me, you know, in our encounters, and don't readily engage and show that their feet are firmly planted in the, you know, in their belief, but they suddenly say, "Oh, I want to go and, you know, I want to go to the gun range." I would say no, because I know that they're not open-minded. I know that they're not there to learn. They're there for something else, whether it be the appearance of them being open-minded or what, you know, what have you. You know, situation. You know, that's one thing. But I mean, this past election was not about guns. It was
no.
barely. It was barely mentioned. Obama certainly. You know, well, you know, he did sit on the board of directors of the Joyce Foundation and was, you know, an elected official in Chicago.
And let's not forget the Fast and Furious thing.
That is true. But the Fast and Furious has been entirely in the shadows as well. I mean, it's one of those you can't expect, you know, a teeny bopper dipshit to know anything about Fast and Furious.
Correct.
That's been the whole point of everything.
Fast and Furious is just a conservative conspiracy theory.
I mean, that, no, that's yeah, that's inside baseball. I mean, that's the bottom line. Is I'm impressed when someone actually asks me about Fast and Furious
because they've even heard about it.
I assume that it's if the people know about Fast and Furious, they also know about the Gen 4 Glock recall. You know, I mean, it's inside baseball. It's one of those things that, you know, it's been buried by the media so much that it's, you know, yeah, absolutely. Fast and Furious was Obama's attempt to sidestep Heller by saying, OK, the Supreme Court said that the United States can't ban guns. But let's make this an international issue. Let's make this an international peace treaty issue. And by making an issue, we'll give the guns to the Mexicans so that we can pretend that they're coming there naturally. But it was all done in the shadows, and that actually shows how much Obama's afraid of the gun control movement, that he can't even actually make any sort of serious run about gun control.
I don't know. I think really at a certain point, it's almost like you're talking to a different planet. Do you ever get that feeling?
Yes.
Like you're talking to people who live on a different planet from you because we are so entrenched in the internet and the information that's available, and we search it out and we, you know, we hear about Fast and Furious and we keep up with it. And then there's the people who they rely on what's that guy, Jon Stewart, for the news.
The Daily Show.
The Daily Show. And they think that's the deal, man. Jon Stewart, he's, you know, and then they, and every doctor's office you go to, CNN is playing on the TV and in the wall, and you think, oh, CNN, that's, of course, they're playing in the doctor's office. It's the news, you know, and then, you know, these people, it's like they're on a different planet from you. And more, especially after this election, I keep feeling like, what the fuck? I feel like I have woken up and I'm in bearded Spock land. For real. Like, I'm watching the news, and I know that the news is telling me stuff that is not the news. It's not real. And I'm like, what is going on? And I feel like I am on a different planet. And it comes to the point where you deal with people in your everyday life, and you have to censor yourself, and you have to not have conversations. You have to hold yourself back because if it feels like you would have to translate yourself and have to show them evidence and have to show them diagrams of all this shit happens and you didn't know anything about it. You know what I mean? And it's like you just don't even bother having that conversation anymore because you're on a different fucking planet. Well, yeah, but you're on a different planet now. And I think a lot of people, you know, if you look at the popular vote, it was almost 50-50 this time. You know, and you get the feeling like half of us are living a different reality than the other half of the country. And I feel like this is where I'm at with this girl. Like, I feel like there's nothing I could explain to her that would make me, number one, make her understand the importance of the Second Amendment, and secondly, not make me look like I'm a crazy person. Because she has, you know, lived her entire life thinking, you know, MTV is real, and Jon Stewart is real, and CNN is real, and everything else. You know, everything they told me in school is real. And suddenly there's this other person telling me shit that she, you know, believes to be real. Oh my God, she's a crazy person. Well, do you know what I'm saying?
So I know exactly what you're saying, Brina.
I kind of feel like
I used to live on that planet and you used to live on that planet.
Yes.
We both voted for Al Gore. So it's you're talking it's a futile argument, but it's not. It can be. Here's I mean, I'll say right now, you know, my father is one of those people who, you know, it's not really worth the ammo cost. He's one of those people that he's decided he's set in his ways, and that's the end of the discussion. And so it's, you know, if you know, the only reason why I will ever take my father to the gun range is only so that I can say that I went shooting with my father.
Of course. And I don't blame you for that. Wonderful.
But the bigger statement is that, I mean, it's one of those, I grew up in Southern Maine, which is, you know, Massachusetts North. It was, you know, super duper liberal, you know, ultra blue state, voted, you know, near 100% for Obama, you know, bloody, 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 blah. And then I went to college up in Central Maine, where suddenly within 3 months of being in college, I'm riding down log roads in a modified pickup truck through the mud. I mean, you know, it was a world away.
Right.
And suddenly I just suddenly went, oh, this, you know, there's times when you realize, oh, these, you know, there's actually something to this whole redneck thing.
Right. There is an epiphany that happens. There is an epiphany.
Hey, we got a caller.
But here's my point is that, okay, so you have all this. I think essentially my problem is that everybody's like, well, take her to the range and teach her about liberty and the Second Amendment and be gentle about it and bring her into the fold, blah, blah, blah. But my feeling is, especially after this election, is that it is too fucking late and it is a waste of my time. Because when this country eventually unfucks itself, I will be long dead.
If that ever happens.
If it ever happens.
Yeah.
And so I kind of am having this dilemma, like, do I take her? I love the idea that she might be interested in self-defense. That's wonderful. And taking care of herself in that way. But politically, I'm thinking, who the fuck cares? It's over.
We have a caller.
Thank you.
Caller.
Okay.
Area code 610. Hello.
Are you Jesus?
Hello?
Hello.
It's
Greetings,
Jesus.
Caller. You're on the air.
Hey, this is Andrew.
Hi, Andrew.
Hi, Andrew. Oh, you called back. I'm so glad.
Come again. I can't really hear you.
Oh.
Okay. Well, how are you, Andrew?
I'm doing all right.
Good.
I'm doing all right. I wanted to call in because I think I might have a little bit of a unique perspective on this because I just got out of college about a year and a half ago, and the vast majority of my college buddies, quote unquote, I wouldn't necessarily call them friends, they were a lot like this girl. They got all their, you know, all their news, quote unquote, from, you know, Stephen Colbert, or however you pronounce his name, and Jon Stewart.
It's pronounced Colbert, he's Irish.
And they basically, what it boiled down to is they were just ignorant and indoctrinated. They really weren't used to thinking for themselves. They were just spoon-fed everything.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I know you were saying that you're afraid it's going to be a futile effort.
Right.
Well, it might be, but it might not be. I mean, what was it, sophomore or junior year or something like that, I had to take a public speaking class. And the last two assignments we had to do were an informative speech and a persuasive speech. And the class was an honors class I was part of the school's honors college, so I knew everyone in the class. They knew me. It was all my college buddies pretty much, and I was known as I self-described myself as the group paranoid, right-wing, bitter, clinging gun nut.
So, great.
Nice.
I just laughed that off. They said that somebody in a dining hall called me a right-wing bitter clinger, and I just said, you forgot paranoid. So they all laughed it off.
Oh, and Bible thumping.
So they were cool with it. But anyway, the persuasive or the informative speech I did on the history of gun rights, or not gun rights, gun laws, gun control. And I researched it all the way back. I wish I still had my notes. I'd loan them to you, but they all died when my computer hard drive went kaboosh on me a couple of years back. And the persuasive speech I did based on why the assault weapons ban is a bunch of hooey. And so I researched it all out. I had, you know, I put up detailed diagrams and whatnot on the PowerPoint presentation because we had to use those for the last two speeches. And when it was all said and done, I mean, I had a girl who she and her brother were and still are slightly to the left of Karl Marx.
Oh, dear.
And she came up to me and she said, you know, what you said, I can't believe I'm saying this, what you said made a lot of sense. You have some really good points. And by the end of it, at the end of our conversation, we got to she's personally not comfortable with owning a gun, and she'll probably never shoot one, but she no longer had a problem with me or anybody else wanting to own one. So I think really the key is, you know, this girl, my friend and your acquaintance, they're ignorant, and they need to be educated. And I think by this girl coming to you, she says, I want to learn not just how to shoot, but I want to learn, you know, where you're at with your worldview. And I think you have a chance to maybe open this girl's eyes, so to speak. And, you know, worst comes to worst, if she doesn't like it, hey, you got to go to the range and shoot some guns.
That's true. That's true. I keep thinking that. I'm like, I'm going to make her pay for everything.
Make her rent a gun that you want to shoot, but you hadn't yet.
Yeah, I might. You know what? I keep thinking about, I was thinking about maybe bringing my Marlin 60. We have one of the models that is technically an assault rifle in New Jersey.
I got one.
So in other words, it's a gun.
It's a gun, I think it holds like 16 as opposed to 15 or something silly. And I mean, it's just like a little 22, you know.
Yep.
Mine holds 18.
Ooh, 18.
I've got the old Glenfield with a squirrel on the stock.
See, I have the squirrel. Maybe ours holds 16. I don't know. I never found it.
If it's got the squirrel on the stock, it's a Glenfield, and it holds 18 plus one.
Yes, we have the squirrel one.
And you can empty that son of a bitch in about 2 seconds.
You haven't taken a picture of it, Brita, for the score report?
Oh. I haven't. You know, when I first started shooting, I was all excited about that rifle. I was like, oh, my God, look at the squirrel. It's so cute. And Mike was like, I think that's what you're supposed to shoot with the gun. I was like, well, it's
the
still
22s
cute.
Are four.
I don't care. Yeah, so it is. I think technically an assault rifle in New Jersey.
That gun is completely banned in New Jersey.
Yep. It's silly.
Yes,
you know.
It is.
Yeah.
I had a friend who he bought a Glock 17. He was a year older than us, so like right after he graduated from college, he bought it. And he was going on about how great it is, and oh, man, these Federal HydroShock hollow points, they are the shiznit, blah, 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 blah. Then he enlisted in the Army and got deployed to New Jersey, and he was pissed because he called me up and said, yeah, I can't take my Glock into the Army with me. I can't carry it when I'm on duty, but at least I can take it to the base. And I said, you're going to Jersey, aren't you? And he said, yeah, like, you can't take that Glock to New Jersey. He's like, why the bleep not? Well, because you can't. I don't know. I don't remember whether it's 10 or 15 rounds is the limit in Jersey.
10.
But, no, it's 15 in Jersey.
Oh, 15. Is it 15?
10 in Massachusetts?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it Jersey's weird. But anyway, it's a Glock 17, so it's 17 plus one. So I told him, yeah, you've got to buy some of those neutered 10-round mags for it. And those Federal HydroShocks you're raving about, hollow points are illegal there, too. So that got him into the sort of involved in the gun rights movement.
Massachusetts was turned me into a gun nut. I was pro gun. I was first liberal and ignorant of guns, and then I learned about guns, and then I became pro gun, and then finally I stopped being liberal. But it was Massachusetts that turned me into a gun nut.
Yeah, that
Massachusetts
sort of was
tends to do that.
That was how it was for my friend, and I just want to relay one last thing, and then I'll get off the phone and let someone else call in. I don't know if y'all remember, but I think it was the Halloween episode. I called in, and the conversation sort of turned into how, like, I still live at home with my parents, and my parents are, like, anti-gun, won't let any guns in the house, blah, blah, blah.
I vaguely recall that.
Well, I don't even think it was a week after I called in, I was talking with my folks about the possibility of buying a stripped AR-15 lower and building it up, because I thought it would be the least objectionable, quote-unquote, firearm I could own in the house. And then clear out of the blue, because I've been talking with my mom in the days and weeks and months leading up to this about, you know, self-defense and prepping and all this stuff, and clear out of the blue, she just says, you know what, I think I might like to own a rifle.
Yay!
So, I mean, what I'm trying to say is, you know, just talk with this girl. It's possible. Hmm. I mean, my mother, for years and years and years, you say gun, she thinks, oh my God, my son's going to grow up and be a terrorist. Now
you are one.
Congratulations!
Clinger, automatically terrorist.
Okay. I don't actually own one yet. Mom,
that doesn't matter. You're still a terrorist.
It doesn't matter.
I'm still working on that. But the point is, it took, oh God, how long has it been? I don't even remember. I mean, she's not ready to own a gun yet. Apparently, she won't buy a gun unless my dad's job gets transferred out to Texas, because apparently you can't live in Texas and not own a gun.
That's right. It's against the law.
I swung her around. And, you know, maybe this girl's ignorant, maybe she's anti-gun, but if I can swing my anti-gun parents around, I swung mom around, I'm actually getting a dialogue going with my dad, so that's good. If I can get a dialogue going with them, you have to try, Brita. You got to try. That's all I can say.
She's very cute, too, and I promise to post pictures if I do get her to the range. You know, I just think that she just has never had to think about anything.
Yeah.
Anything, yeah, that, really. I mean, at this stage in her life, she's never had to make big decisions.
Yeah. Well, that happens a lot with kids.
Sure.
And that was how my college buddies were. They were spoon-fed from, you know, spoon-fed from the cradle. Just told, you know, how to think, what to eat, what to wear, what to believe, who to vote for.
Well, it's also easy to be a liberal when you don't pay taxes.
Yes.
Oh, hell yeah. And most of my friends don't even pay taxes because they're unemployed, occupied, well, not friends, college buddies. They're like, I'm ashamed to admit, they're mostly the Occupy Wall Street crowd. But the ones who have to pay taxes are either going totally anti-corporation, anti-capitalist, or they're starting to come around. So,
good for them. Yeah. Well, thanks for calling, Andrew.
Yeah, not a problem. I'll shut up and let someone else call.
That's fine. Keep us up to date if you ever get your mom around to getting a gun.
Yeah, I mean, my mom's on board with me owning one. I just got to work on my dad. So,
well, good luck.
He's thinking about it. So, you know, hopefully in another couple of days, hopefully by Christmas, I'll be calling in and saying I had boomstick. So,
awesome.
Awesome. Good. Well, remember, York Arms for all your
York Arms.
All right. Bye, Andrew.
Yeah. Bye, Andrew. Thanks for calling in.
And we got another caller.
Awesome.
And that call-in number again, 214-530-0036.
We're not going to get to our other topics.
I know. We need to get to our other topics. And let's take this call and see what happens.
Okay.
This is area code 763. That's a new one on me. Who are you and where are you?
763. Goat, you know me.
No, we don't.
Goat.
Joe.
Yeah, I've called before. Joe.
We do know. I know that, dude.
Is this microphone okay?
Yeah.
I can't hear it, though.
So. Yeah, you sound fine.
Okay. Not as bad as Jay?
Not nearly as bad as Jay.
All right. On the fact that, you know, she voted for Obama versus voting for Romney or Bush, I mean, Obama is really not terribly more anti-freedom than any of the people the GOP has put up for president lately.
You know,
Romney is as anti-freedom as Obama was. Yes, he has some different things. He's maybe better on guns. Maybe he wouldn't be. Maybe if you have better people for the Supreme Court, maybe he wouldn't. I mean, all of them are pretty badly anti-freedom. But on the taking someone to the range, I wouldn't worry about the who they voted for. It wouldn't bother me if they have a really crappy attitude about guns in the past. That might bother me. If they have a bad, you know, I want this and I think you should pay for it for me, well, that would grate on me. That would bug me. But, I mean, earlier this summer I was at the range and there were some guys there and one of the guys' daughters were there and he was trying to get them to shoot. They had Mosins and SKSs and the daughters were both pretty young and really intimidated by those rifles. And I happen to have a number of 22s with me, and those two girls probably shot 300 rounds of my 22 that day.
Nice.
You know, I probably should have gotten pictures and posted on a blog. Those two, they were probably 6 and 7, and they were having the time of their lives just about. And their father was just so happy and ecstatic that his daughter was actually liking shooting. And, you know, it was worth it to me. I mean, yeah, a couple hundred rounds of 22, who cares? And just about anybody, unless for some reason, you know, they piss me off thinking they deserve it, I'll take someone to the range and yeah, I'll make them split the blame for you with me. And you know, if they shoot more than a box of ammo, they're going to have to replace it. But, you know, I have fun watching people shoot. I have fun taking new people to the range. It's entertaining for me. And so I'll do it just for that. And who they voted for, well, that's a separate issue. and you know, and most people who voted for Obama don't realize that, you know, he really is terribly anti-gun. He wants to take him away. Most people voted for Obama because he was hip and cool.
Right. No, I understand that.
Good anti-racist people by voting for the black guy or something.
Yeah, because voting for someone because they're black isn't racist at all.
No, of course not. It can't be racist if it helps the black guy. Well, and weird, I'm glad you liked the picture.
Just laughing. I don't know. Maybe it's because I work with the public. And because I work with people all the time, I just have,
Democrats,
like, stupid fatigue. You know, I'm just like, I'm not responsible to convert every stupid person and tell them I get stupid fatigue. Maybe that's it. I'm just kind of, like, worn out. I'm like, I don't fucking care, you know, what this girl thinks or why she shoots or why she wants to go to the range. Maybe I'm just burnt out. Like, I just don't care. That could be part of it. You know, I would love to go to the range and have fun and stuff, but I, at the same time, I'm kind of like, you know, I don't want to deal with all the other things that go along with shooting for me. And shooting for other people is kind of like just, you know, it's kind of like a fun thing. They're like, oh, let's go to the range and shoot. It's fun and blah, blah, blah. But for me, it's like a bigger issue. You know, it's an emotional issue. It's a liberty issue. And it's kind of like, I just don't have the fortitude to deal with that right now. You know.
Well, Rita, do you have another option? You know, she wants to go shooting.
Yes.
Do you know anybody else who has the attitude more like me? Who is like, I like going to the range. I like taking new people shooting because I haven't done a lot of fun for me.
I was thinking like maybe I should just give her the name and number of somebody who teaches women to shoot and say, have fun. Here you go.
Yeah, you know, maybe that's, you know,
Yeah.
If it's stressful for you to go, you probably know somebody else in the area who would
sure.
take her.
And I'm not opposed to her learning how to shoot. You know, if you want to shoot, you want to shoot. But I think at this point, maybe perhaps I don't want to be a part of it. Just, you know, from where I am kind of mentally at this point, where with the post-election and then, you know, whatever. But I don't know.
Well, there you go. There's a win-win. She gets what she wants and you don't have to put up with her.
Well, and also it kind of puts the onus on her where, you know, if she really wants to go do this and learn how to shoot, then she will have to, you know, pay somebody to teach her, you know.
Yeah. You can recommend a range, right, Brita?
Yeah, sure.
There you go. There you go. Go there.
Who is it? Somebody on his blog has got a map with little pinpoints of people willing to take people to the range for their first range trip. Oh, I forget who it is.
Mulligan.
I'm on his list. Nobody's...
Mulligan.
Yeah. You know, maybe there's somebody on Mulligan's list close by. Point her there. Let her just contact somebody. She has no clue who it is out of the blue.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's an option. We will see. I will update you as events occur.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, Joe, I've totally done what you've done too. There's been a million times where I've seen novice shooters shooting way too much gun from them. Usually it's either young kid with unprepared dad or girlfriend with boyfriend who has macho gun and is, you know, has all his manliness devoted in this gun and doesn't have a 22 to start on, where I've always got my 617 with me at the range, and it's always been one of those, you know, maybe she'd like to shoot this a little bit, you know, here's some ammo, here's that, let her give this a try. And all of a sudden you go from a lackluster person who's like not really enjoying that shooting experience, just kind of along for the ride, to, ooh, this is fun, look at me, I'm hitting the target.
Yep.
Yep.
And the other advantage is, you know, 500 rounds at 22 costs you, what, $20?
Yep.
So, all right. Well, hey, I'm going to hang
calling.
Up now.
Yep. Unfortunately, 500 rounds at 22 costs
calling,
$20.
Joe.
Yeah, no kidding. I remember when it was nine.
Hey, about those other topics we had.
Yes. We had topics.
We can save them for next week.
Well, let's talk about
hard.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
work
let's
is hard.
There's a quickie here. Let's just talk about the liberal girl. Speaking of liberals, the liberal girl that was the internet sensation because she thought it would be cute to post a picture mocking the silence of respect sign at the Arlington National Cemetery, and then was shocked to find that her employer thought that was behavior not worthy of being one of his employees.
I actually wonder if the employer thought that her behavior was, I mean, I think this story is not about her at all.
No,
I think this story is all about other liberals, is how quickly liberals eat their own. Is that, I mean, I heard a great comment the other day from, oh, I forget his name, the dude who runs Red Eye. He was talking about this, was saying that, was talking about the fact that she's been thrown under the bus because it was a slow news week and they needed something to be outraged about. And next week they're going to completely forget about her. She's going to this shit's already done. She's already forgotten.
She's probably been hired back.
We're behind that. She's already completely forgotten. They don't even know her name. This is like Cindy Sheehan with the volume turned up.
Yep.
As soon as she's not useful anymore for what they were using her for, she's completely forgotten. But now she's out of a job. They got their news story and they got to wring their hands and make themselves seem like, you know, oh, we care about the veterans right now at this exact moment. And she's out of a job. Simply for being a dipshit, and I don't even think her employers give a fuck. I think her employers felt obligated to fire her.
I doubt her employer fired her for what she did. They probably fired her for the negative attention.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. She made them look bad, and she was there on a business trip.
Right.
Yes. She was
the damn company.
However, she took a photo and posted it on Facebook. You're an idiot.
Yeah.
Oh, she's absolutely a fucking
stupid
idiot.
What?
She's an idiot, and she's a fucking asshole. Because I mean,
well, yeah. Those,
even when I was a pants shitting liberal. I mean, the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. Every time I'm in D.C., I have got to go to that fucking tomb because it was the first time I went there. It blew my goddamn mind, and every time since I've gone there, probably a half a dozen times now. Every single time I set foot near that tomb and see that honor guard doing that, and see the changing of the guard, and see the reverence and all of that for guarding something that's really doesn't need to be guarded. It's,
yeah.
You know, it's, you know, I mean, I, you know, I'm not going to, I don't want to sound disrespectful for, I mean, the fact that it's the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. That's a big goddamn
thing. They're not guarding the thing. They're guarding the idea.
They're an honor guard. They're right. A guard. They're honoring it with their guard. And that is so obvious. Is it's not like, you know, who knows if those Garands that they've got are loaded or not. They probably aren't, knowing how the army is.
Yeah, I'm sure they're not loaded, but I'm sure they could be.
They got bayonets. That's all you need to know.
Hey, yeah, but the bayonets probably aren't even sharp. They're all super duper strong.
It doesn't matter. I wouldn't fuck with them.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't either. I mean, this isn't the same issue as the, you know, I went to an air show once and they had the stealth fighter there and they had the guard around that with the, you know, the Mossberg 590s and all that stuff. And I remember the super liberal former relative of mine, now legally disbarred from being a relative. she said, do you think that, you know, it was, they had the double line, essentially the first line you get warned, the second line you get shot. And she's like, do you really think they'd shoot somebody? I'm like,
yep.
Yeah, absolutely. They'd shoot you. That's,
well,
you know,
you run toward that tomb there with a can of spray paint and try to tag it and see what happens.
Oh yeah. I mean, yeah.
I would love to see that.
Yeah.
That one, the rifle may hit the ground and they'll just beat you to death.
Yeah, they wouldn't get a chance because there'd be like several World War II vets that attack and you'd beat the crap out of you.
Oh, fuck that.
You'd be on TV the next day. The guy would get his ass kicked by two 85-year-old men.
Teenage communist me would have beaten their ass. I mean, it's one of those. It's just.
By the way,
it's,
her name was Lindsay Stone.
Stone.
And she worked. Life was the acronym of the company.
Yeah, it's a liberal outfit. I mean, it's
in Massachusetts. Yeah, what do you expect it different?
It's a
What bothered me the most was it's symptomatic of that, and I hate to say this, but the generation that she saw nothing wrong with what she was doing.
She didn't.
Ha ha! I'm being funny.
And also she claimed First Amendment rights.
Yeah, right. Okay. That was cute.
Also, to tie it into our first subject, she also still lives with her parents.
Oh,
and her parents were the first people to jump in to say she's a good girl. She didn't know what she was doing.
Oh, please, was she an honor student? Because that would be awesome.
Just turning her life around, aspiring rap artist. No, wait, that's a different template.
And she's my goddamn age. She's like 31 or something like that.
Yeah, she's
never
like 30
years
old.
This would be something that a lot of people would find grossly offensive. It's just there's a fundamental disconnect there.
Well, she's like
that's not something you can fix.
She's like that fluke. Who is it? The fluke person that's like wants that wants the government to pay for her birth control, and she's like 30 something.
Yeah, honey, get a job. Pay the $10 a month for your birth control.
I remember when, you know, I first suddenly got lucky enough to find a woman crazy enough to let me stick my wee wee in her, and I paid for my own birth control.
There you go. See? But, you know,
you make them pay for it.
It does seem like there's this kind of like, I have all these rights but no responsibilities. And, and nor do I have to suffer repercussions for, you know. I mean, sure. Yes. First Amendment rights. Go ahead. Go to the tomb of the unknown soldier and Arlington National Cemetery and make obscene gestures and yell when it says silence and be disrespectful. Sure, go ahead. But there are repercussions.
Right.
And you have to accept those.
Also, let's not fall into issues whatsoever.
It wasn't the government did nothing.
No,
exactly.
No,
let's not fall into that liberal pitfall. Is the progressives are all so they have no absolutely no understanding of how the Bill of Rights works.
No,
is they're so quick to say, oh, what about someone's First Amendment rights when private citizens are acting up against someone being a dipshit, but suddenly not realizing when rights are rights. But yeah, no, She 100% has the right to do what she did, and it was exercising her rights, and her rights are being supported by the government because the government doesn't give a shit about her.
Right.
This is not a First Amendment issue because guess what? She's also an at-will employee, and now she's an at-will unemployee.
I think the bigger issue here is that she go ahead and do what you want to do, but you know what? You posted it on Facebook.
Yeah.
And do you think that you want the attention, but you don't really?
Yeah. When you get,
are you sure you want the attention by posting on Facebook for everybody in the world to see? Yeah. It's just somebody in the chat said, "Play stupid game, win stupid prizes," and that's really what it is.
Hey, we got a caller.
Cool.
Area code 919. Hello.
Hey, it's John, NC Gunblog. How are you guys doing?
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, I have to totally disagree with you guys.
Okay.
I don't think that she had any intention of being offensive in a way that you and I would have taken it to be offensive. Now, that doesn't stop her from being offensive. I don't want to say that because she had no intention that she should, that we shouldn't be offended. But I think that I'm going to have to tell you a story about where I used to work and what that did to you, and it's going to be kind of weird, but I used to work at Disneyland. And when you're on stage in Disneyland, there are certain things you don't do. And if you spend enough time smiling and pointing with your whole hand and not with a finger and trying to be super nice, after about 4, 5, 6 hours of this, you go backstage and start screaming fuck as loud as you can. And it happens to everybody. Okay. I have seen mild-mannered people calmly say that they're going to go take a break and walk out the back door backstage and scream obscenities that no one has ever heard them say before. Because
are they librarians too? Are they librarians too?
I'm picturing Cinderella cussing a blue streak right now.
Nice.
And I would not be surprised because the characters have it kind of rough. Mickey, everybody freaks out and runs away from Mickey because Mickey is really cute in a cartoon. In real life, it's a 6-foot freaking rat. Scares the crap out of little kids. But yeah, the face characters like Cinderella or Snow White, I imagine that they have it really tough because the particular people they're dealing with are showing up to talk to, if they want to talk to their idol and they want to grow up to be princess, they're going to have princess parties with them. And these are college-age kids. And I was like, God damn it, like a little rat, get away from me. After a while, I'm sure they don't do that the whole time or else they'd never survive more than a day in a job.
Right.
You hear it every once in a while that some ignorant liberal, we've turned military service into some sort of every military person is a hero we run into some sort of we're turning everybody into a hero and most of us are just people who showed up and did a job,
Right.
There was of course the possibility that we might get killed, most likely by an accident. But
you know, some of it's true. We act like you owe something to somebody simply because they decided that they were going to be in the military. You don't owe them shit.
Oh, who did?
That is not me. Not me. That's all I'm saying. Not me.
You know, I'm glad that, you know, so many people have a lot of respect for, you know, I did 9 years in the military, 2 different services. But I don't feel like you guys owe me anything.
That's funny because neither do I.
Yep.
I avoid any of the, you know, the Veterans Day. I luckily Memorial Day doesn't apply to me, so, you know, I don't have to avoid anything on
right. But Sean, but if you had died in service to your country, we might feel differently about you.
Yeah, well, I figure a lot of people would like me a lot better if I got shot.
That could be that. That is probably the case.
But see, here we've got somebody who really isn't emotionally probably equipped to understand why you or I would see things in a very different way than she does. And she comes into that environment totally not prepared for it. And it really can't.
She's 30 years old. 30.
So what? Honey. It doesn't matter. I mean, there are people who are much older than that who still are not emotionally prepared to deal with our worldview about that sort of thing. You
okay.
go and do something stupid on the you know, to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, and you're liable to get your ass kicked. And you're exactly right. A couple 85-year-old World War II veterans are going to kick your ass, and you're not even going to understand why.
But you know what? It doesn't matter. That's your problem. If you are that fucking clueless about the way the goddamn world works, you deserve your ass kicked repeatedly.
Except what she did wasn't deserving of an ass kicking. What she did is she made a silent pose by a. She wasn't screaming. She flipped off, you know, the camera and screamed at a sign in, you know, silently so somebody could take a picture that she thought was funny.
And she didn't get an ass kicking. She lost her job because she was being an idiot on the clock for her employer. All right?
If I posted pictures
of myself being an asshole and made my employer look bad, damn right I would expect to be fired. And any fucking thinking human being should know that. You don't have to be
that. And I think that her employers were cowards about the whole thing.
Rage.
I think her employers were cowards about the whole thing. They ran and fired her as fast as they could to get other people to shut up. They didn't fire out of any sort of principle. They did it out of cowardice. So I got no respect for them either.
Well, you're absolutely right there. They did not fire her because they disagreed with what she did. They fired her because of the negative PR.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to do something. And, yeah, they're absolutely cowards. There's no question about that. But yeah. Any company facing that kind of scrutiny, especially what kind of company did she work for, Sean? Did you know that?
She took care of retarded people.
Right? And how do they get their funding?
Yeah.
Right.
How? Anybody know?
Taxpayers.
Taxpayers.
Yeah.
And donations.
Donations. Ooh.
Donations.
Yeah, ask Wounded Warrior about that donation thing and how important it is for PR.
Yeah, through Wounded Warrior. I hope somebody reevaluates the response that they finally did.
What, I'm a gun owner, bud?
Yeah.
We'll take your money, but
we don't want to be seen with you.
$1,000
I'll have sex with you, but don't tell anyone we're dating. I mean, come on.
but to be fair, now granted, yeah, the fact that she was on a business trip, that's a big deal, and the fact that it was the Tomb of the Unknown, that's an even bigger deal. But I agree. I mean, I just posted a picture of a buddy of mine who I used to work with, who you know, he'd go out and have a smoke break, and I pointed out the fact that, hey, we're, you know. I mean, technically speaking, we were smoking next to a diesel generator, so it's not like there's actually a hazard. You could drop lit cigarettes into the diesel fuel tank all day long. It's not like there's a fire hazard, but there's a big danger, no smoking sign. And, you know, here we are, the two of us both smoking butts beside this sign, and all that. And, you know, Hunter S. Thompson had one of his books. I forget which one. I think it was Fear and Loathing in America. Has got a picture of him riding in an elevator with a no smoking sign and it's smoking a butt and giving the cameraman the finger. There is a human nature to it when someone says, don't do this. Or another example is I was working security for a band. And one of the things that they were saying to do was make sure no one is taking photography. The band does not want any unauthorized photography of this concert. What was the first thing I fucking did while wearing my security shirt was I pulled out my phone and I snapped some blurry, completely unusable photos of this band. But I said, fuck you. But again,
if they'd seen you and fired you, you'd have been.
I would have deserved it.
Yep.
I would have absolutely deserved it. I'm a big kid. And I won't lie. I did it in such a way that, I wouldn't have gotten caught doing it.
Did you have the camera in your butt?
Thanks for calling, Sean.
Thanks, Sean.
All right, take care.
Crap, we got like 20 minutes left.
I know.
Dead air, drink.
The thing with the
I really didn't expect to spend that much time on her because it's just stupid.
Oh, it only got like 109,000.
No.
Why on earth would it be about
the girl at the cemetery.
Yeah, the cemetery girl. No, I didn't expect to see
that. It just seems like there is this belief that you don't have to suffer any repercussions for your actions.
Well, because First Amendment.
Well,
First of
30 is a good enough age to learn a life lesson than any other.
Yeah. Well, the problem is they're not learning it earlier. I mean, I used to be, and I hate to do the whole, you know, back in my day, but you know, kids these days, you know, shit. When I was a kid, grown up, you know, I mean, God, I feel like such an old fogey doing this shit. But
you have to say, Ariel, you are.
Alan, I'm with you on this. 1,000%.
You know, kids were like, yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, ma'am, to adults. And, you know, I mean, we were scared shitless of doing something. Now, when we were all by ourselves, well, yeah, we acted like a bunch of fucking idiots and screw. But when we were around adults, we were scared shitless of being, you know, and the worst thing was, you know, getting, you know, because whatever happened, you know, somebody would call our parents and then, you know, oh, fuck, we're screwed then. But, you know, kids these days just don't even give a shit.
No.
They absolutely don't give a shit. And
I'm the same way. I agree with you. I mean, just,
they are not being
just,
held
just
accountable.
The other week, I admitted to a mistake that I never made, you know, at work to my boss. It was just one of those things of the, it was a, you know, it later turned out it was not something I did, but it was something that was potentially, possibly, maybe, sort of. I didn't think I did, but I didn't. But it was one of those things of the shit. Something got fucked up, and my fingerprints were on it, and so I went front and center and just said, "This shit happened. It could have been me. I'm sorry. I'm gonna take the consequences of that." And, you know, thankfully it panned out fine, but it was one of those things of, yeah, no, I, you know, you, you know, you've got, you have to own mistakes and take responsibility for what you have responsibilities for.
Yeah. Word.
But Alan, I think you hit the nail on the head. It's the whole precious snowflake. Everybody gets a trophy.
That's right.
My self-esteem uber all.
Right.
That's the entitlement mentality that the world rises and sets in the crack of my ass.
Right.
I can do no wrong. I have been told since birth that I am the most important creature in the universe.
Right.
By the way, therefore, call in topic, aren't we glad the sun does not rise and set in Jersey?
Yes.
I knew that was coming.
Yeah, but kids, but parents, you know, and it really, the boomers are the absolute worst at this because this whole generation raised by boomers is absolutely insane because you've got a, frankly, an insane generation raising another insane generation, you know, and they've lived vicariously through their children trying to stay young and, you know, concentrate, you know, they put, you know, they imbue their children with their own, you know, selves. I mean, their whole egos are wrapped up in their precious little snowflake, and you know, the child can do no wrong, and it's all about the kid, and we schedule our whole lives around the kid. And, you know, I'm sorry, they're kids, you know, they don't need to have their lives scheduled. They don't need to, you know, just ignore them for most of the day and they'll be fine.
This is also the generation that spent their entire teen years stoned out of their ass. But, you know, when any sort of discussing on decriminalizing marijuana, they suddenly go, "Oh no!
Oh yeah, can't do that." Yeah.
I was lucky, you know. If my kids do that, if my kids smoke a joint today, by next week they'll be blowing someone behind Wendy's for crack.
Yeah. Well, it's crazy. Anyway, shit. We had another great topic, but I hate to get into it because we just don't.
We're going to save it for next week.
We don't have time.
Save it for next week. It's less work.
Because nothing's going to happen during the week.
I guarantee Brita is right. It's been a slow news cycle.
They're still talking about the iPad Mini, for Christ's sake.
Oh, Lord.
Who is? Oh,
Alan.
What? I'm not talking about it.
Alan just purchased an iPad Mini.
Hey, that's not for me.
Who'd you buy the iPad Mini for?
I bought it. It's a Christmas present for my daughter.
Oh, I hope
she listens to Squirrel Report.
No, she
does. No, she does not.
Not only does she not listen, she don't want to listen.
She's at the eye rolling stage.
Yes. Oh, yes. She is very much the eye rolling, you know. Doing the preteen eye roll.
That's my parents don't listen either. That's the same reason why I'm perfectly willing to say, "Oh yeah, I was smoking out behind the diesel generator."
Oh yeah, nobody. The secret is nobody listens to this, so you're safe.
Okay, you know what? Everybody's there's in the chat room. People are saying, "Okay, what, Brita? What is your verdict on the whole taking the girl to the range issue?" And I have to say, I'm not solid in my heart whether or not I want to. I'm inclined. I kind of want to take her because I like teaching new people how to shoot. I love to shoot. And I like teaching girls how to shoot because I think it's a very unique experience. Girls at the range are, it's an interesting experience for me because I was there and, a woman teaching another woman how to shoot is like a whole different thing.
Absolutely.
And I really enjoy it. And, so I'm inclined to take her. However, I don't think I'm going to even, because I don't have the heart for it, I don't even think I'm going to even bring up the whole politics, liberty, Second Amendment stuff. If I'm going to do it at all, I'm just going to do it as like a, you know, a shooting sports type thing.
Here's a gun.
Here's a gun. Here's how you how you work it, how you shoot it. Here you go. You're going to pay for everything.
Don't point the open end toward anything you don't want a hole in.
Yeah. And I think I could do it that way, but I really don't think I could even begin with the whole Second Amendment liberty.
Yeah, there's really no political point.
Thing.
I honestly a lot of that falls under the whole You know, and God damn, I hate doing this. Yeah, just back in the old days, you just didn't talk about politics or religion. You
right.
know, it was just,
right.
You just didn't because, you know, well, that's.
No.
You still don't in some places. I don't dare talk about my politics at work.
Yeah. Well, see, I'm the opposite. We don't talk about it because we all agree because it's all the same.
And I just think, you know, I love to shoot, and if I can have another girl love to shoot, that's great with me. If I'm going to do it all at all, I'm gonna taken from that angle, I think.
Yeah, and it's all baby steps too. Like I said, I mean, it's one of those. It wasn't like I politically switched around when I first learned how to shoot, but man, right. Those seeds were sown.
I was the opposite. I had politically changed before I started to shoot, so I'm kind of like different that way.
Yeah, but for you know, from my experience is that when you learn, I mean, it's one of those. It's if someone learns how to shoot and they have a good time with it, then they get it.
Right.
And once they get it, well, then it's a cascade effect. And then suddenly someone says, "Oh, well, we just need to ban these guns with the larger magazines." Well, but the larger magazines are fun to shoot. Why would you do that? And then you start realizing their politics behind that, and go, "Oh wait, this person's a fucking asshole." I get it. Then the epiphany happens is. You know, and then they talk about, oh, this is so much more deadly. Well, wait a second, you know, someone with a bolt act, you know, I mean, you know, Charles Whitman did all of his damage, you know, at the University of Texas with a bolt action rifle, you know, because it's one of those things of the, you know, you teach people the safety rules as you say, don't point this at anything you don't wish to shoot. And I mean, my big thing also is too is, you know, you get the people that have like, oh, it's just a 22. No, a fucking 22 will kill your ass.
That's right.
Right.
It doesn't matter if it's a 22 or a 50 BMG.
BB gun will kill you if it hits you in the right place.
Yeah. You know, but I mean, we all know.
Hell, hands and feet will kill you, right?
We all know someone who shrugged off a BB gun, though.
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing. Yeah, a BB gun will kill you if it hits you in the right place, or a blind you, or do all sorts of awful things.
You'll shoot your eye out.
Everybody
shoots. Shoot your eye out.
Everybody aims for the ass with a BB gun.
That's right.
I'm going to shoot you in the butt.
That's right.
But still, with one of those, if you shoot somebody in the ass with a 22, and you can still get a good piece of femoral artery right there, and that's game over.
Yep.
Right. Well, yeah. So I might bring the. All I'm saying is that, you know, I'm not gonna do any political stuff, but I might bring the 22, the Marlin 60 with the squirrel and just kind of mention, you know, this is an assault rifle.
In Jersey. Yep.
Just because it can carry a couple extra bullets.
Are you comfortable with firing an assault rifle?
Yeah.
And have a look at you like, what are you talking about?
You're firing one now.
Your hands are soaking in it.
Yeah.
Actually, here's an interesting thing. Is the last time I was at the range, I saw a pink camo AR come out of a box, and it, you know, so I had to, and a little girl shooting the pink AR, and I had to go have a look at it, and it turned out this is in Massachusetts, and the dad had drilled out the cross pin in the stock. Of it was a Smith & Wesson M&P 1522, and he drilled out the cross pin in the stock so that he could adjust the stock so he could shoot it and his daughter can shoot it and, you know, make it so that it was actually a useful rifle. And he well knew that that's a fucking felony in Massachusetts and that what he had done was against the law. And his daughter knew that what he had done was against the law, and she knew why he did it. And that's a big learning experience.
And the real stupid thing is you could buy two stocks, one set to his length, one set to her length, swap them out. That's perfectly fine.
Yep.
It's perfectly legal. But to swap between the two in one stock is a felony. Yep. On what planet does that make sense to anybody?
Or I'm talking to Wally about designing an adjustable stock because I want one of those M&P 22s, but 1522s, because it's a great gun to teach someone how to shoot, because, you know, especially younger kids, they want to play Call of Duty, they want to shoot an M16, and that's pretty darn close to an M16, and they can handle it. It looks like it. It feels like it. Yada, yada, yada. But it's one of those, well, I want to shoot it too, but they're going to be smaller than me.
Just make sure it's got the Hello Kitty on it.
And I want to set up one that you can turn a few screws with an Allen wrench and adjust it. So suddenly it becomes like, you know, the FUD gun adjustable, you know, the 22 bench rest target guns that have all the super duper crazy adjustable length of pull and cheek piece.
Seriously.
Which is perfectly legal.
Hello Kitty.
Wally calls it a fixed enough stock.
Fixed enough. Well, we're about out of time.
We are.
Thanks, everyone, for listening.
Nice.
But nobody listens to this, so don't thank anybody.
It was a really,
China listens.
It was a really big shoe.
By the way, if you are currently listening to this, just so you know, you don't really exist. I hate to break it to you.
You're a figment of Alan's imagination.
Actually, we do. We have a shitload of people that listen to this. I'm always surprised at every time I run the numbers at the end of the month. It's like, holy crap. There's a lot of people. It's like we're up to some crazy number of listeners.
Blogging may be dead, but podcasting is big fucking business.
It's not a big business here, let me tell you. Where's my spreadsheet?
Don't look at the spreadsheet. It's too late for spreadsheets. Mm-mm.
Yes.
No.
Listen to Brita. She's smart.
No,
Brita.
You can post it on the blog, but there's no spreadsheets at 11 p.m.
No.
Sorry.
Spreadsheets.
But the blog is dead.
Oh, shit. Oh, here it is. I just want to give the... Since the beginning of Squirrel Report... We have had, come on, open up spreadsheet.
Jesus.
Yes. We have had.
Baby, open up that spreadsheet.
Between downloads and partial. Between downloads and partial instances, we've had over 130,000 listens. And by listens, I mean somebody either has downloaded or played parts of it off the.
30 seconds and then they switched it off.
That's right. It is over 9,000.
Hey, that counts.
We've gone Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, it's
a big deal.
130,000 in the last, since March.
We're famous on the internet, folks.
Yep. Woohoo! So, anyway, we'll be back next week. And you can listen to us again.
Not me, I quit.
And, that whole, iTunes thing. You know, you can hit the iTunes and download it there, too.
Rate us 5 stars.
That's right.
We have one review, and it's very sweet.
Do we? I haven't read it.
Yeah, we do. Somebody wrote a review on iTunes,
Jesus Christ,
and it's lovely. And
get to it and write some goddamn...
It really made me laugh. It was wonderful. I don't know who the person is, but it was really cute.
Yay. Sweet is nice, but hate mail... Drives eyeballs.
Controversy. Controversy.
I'm sorry. I channeled Rob Pincus for a second.
You gotta. Are you gonna trot out the big boy rules now, Jay?
No.
Go down range. Real warrior goes down range when they're firing.
No, that's Jaeger. Pincus is the one that's like nobody should carry.
Open carry. That's right.
Jaeger's the big. You know, stand. You're not a real man unless you stand around down range and let people shoot at you.
Prove how tough you are.
Yeah.
Burp. And every time he goes into that rant, all I can think of is the pictures from the South Korean or North Korean range with some poor bastards holding up the target.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, that's okay. We're just about done. So thanks for listening, everyone. We'll be back next week with more fun and games.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
And nudity. Don't forget the nudity.
I've reached the babbling stage. So.
Okay. Good night, everybody.
Yep. Night, everybody. Good night, Internet.
We're done. Bye.
Good night.
All right. No more broadcast.
Yay!
I'm trying to hang up.
Yeah. Brita's trying to hang up.
How can I miss you if you won't go away?